All right, well, the last part of chapter 11 was amazing. We even thought today that we should go back and just redo it again and again because there was so much that we missed, so much that God spoke to us. But we're just going to trust that God will speak to everyone, and God will keep bringing and playing these stories in our hearts. But what we walked through, one of the things we kept repeating all week is that when the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, he passed through Gilead, Manasseh, and then went to Mizpah. And as we heard last time, Gilead was a place of pain, place of low self-esteem for him, place of suffering. And sometimes the Spirit of the Lord takes us to these places, because he wants to heal us from this place. And then he takes him to Manasseh. Manasseh was a place of strength, pride, and prosperity, and wealth, and honor, and all of that. And for someone like Jephthah, he probably looked at this place and just envied them, or wished and wanted to look like them and be part of them. Especially when you're that low, anything seems very mighty to you. When you feel your self-esteem is very low, anyone and anything can seem so good and amazing to you. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Jephthah is not walking through Gilead as a rejected brother, as the son of the prostitute, as someone who's been, mistreated or whatever. No, he's walking through it as a commander in God's army. He's walking through the pain of the past. He's walking through the pain of what people did to him. He's walking through it this time in a little bit different, in a different attitude. He's walking through it with his head held high, because he's walking through it with a mission, on a mission, and with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. See, this is great news for us, because who here on this call or anywhere, if you're gonna hear us later, did not have some area of pain in your life? Who here did not have an area of low self-esteem in your life? Who here did not have that place of feeling so low in your life, feeling rejected, feeling hated, and all of that? Now that you are the child of God, even when the past comes through, you actually walking through it with your head held high, because you're now a commander in the army of the Lord. Now you are the child of God, adopted into his family, calls you by name, calls you his own child. Not only going through that, but also even going through Manasseh. Manasseh is not a place of attraction anymore. The riches of the world, the honor of the world, the things that the world give are not a great attraction anymore, because all of this is considered nothing. Look at someone like Moses, who had it all. He was the man. He was like, the prince of Egypt. But he left all of that. Why? Is he crazy? Is he not stable? No, because he found another calling that was much better than what Egypt can offer him. Even if Egypt offers him everything, even if this world offers him everything, he found a calling that was much better, more stronger, more honorable, that he can attach himself to. So yeah, walk through Gilead, walk through the pain, walk through the suffering, walk through the low self-esteem, walk through it. But now you're walking through it differently. Walk through Manasseh, all the riches of the world, all the honor of the world. It's nothing to you. It's absolutely nothing to you, because now you have a different mission. You are different. You are called differently. You believe something different about yourself. And you will not be able to believe something different about yourself until you believe something different about God, and until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes and goes to Mizpah. He goes to a place of communication with the Lord, the place of revelation, the place of cleansing, the place of renewing of the covenant. This is where he goes he goes out to battle. We've been talking about these three parts, these three areas, the whole week. And I honestly, I think we, if we open this up, I am 100% sure that we can take a couple of weeks just talking about these three places. Because who, again, on this call, who here did not have or does not have places of low self-esteem, places of rejection, places of pain? You know, we need to go through it, but now we're going to go through it differently. Who here did not look at a different thing and say, oh, I wish I that was me. I wish I had this. I wish I did this. I wish I looked like this. No, it doesn't matter anymore because now I know who I am in God's eyes, in God's vision, in God's army, in God's family. And then I get into the place of complete surrender and revelation and communication with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. And this will guarantee you victory in any battle you face. But then we see in chapter 11, it ended very sadly because Jephthah makes this covenant or makes this vow that he's going to sacrifice anything, the first thing that comes out of the door. And he had that transactional, love with God. You do this, I'll do this. You give me this, I'll give you this. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. That's not how it works. It's all by grace, and none of it is earned. It's all given in grace. And unfortunately, we hear that very sad ending that his daughter comes out, and then he spoke out of terms. He spoke without the spirit of God. He spoke without wisdom, and he ends up sacrificing his daughter, even though it was against the word of God. The word of God never told us to sacrifice children. Actually, you're going there to that land to end the people who are sacrificing children. God never asked you or me to sacrifice children. His daughter, that beautiful, beautiful daughter who was obedient, who was happy with the victory, who was excited about her father coming back and the victory for her people, in all obedience says yes. Just give me 2 months to go and weep on that I will not have the potential to be the mother of the Messiah. That's what she's weeping, you know. And then instead of taking this time to think, to ask for consultation, to ask for wisdom from people around him, he does absolutely nothing. And then he ends up sacrificing his daughter. And something that was started really amazing, it's ending very sad. And we talked about how many times he accused his daughter of bringing pain to his life, bringing sorrow to his life. And we talked about how sometimes when we're not aware of what we're saying, when we're not speaking from wisdom, we project what we're doing, the horrible things we're doing, to other people who are completely innocent of any of the accusations we give. Again, I can go through this over and over and over, but we need to get to chapter 12. So let's get to chapter 12 today.
Okay, so verse 1, chapter 12. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire." Does this sound familiar? Anybody re reminded of Judges chapter 8? When they came to Gideon and said almost the exact same thing. How could you not call us when you went into battle? Just a reminder, the tribe of Ephraim was a strong tribe, a wealthy tribe, a tribe that carried a lot of pride for themselves, pride for their clan, and felt slighted or offended by the fact that they weren't being called to battle with them. I mean, the very nature of the question kind of reveals this sort of anger over being excluded and almost an offense to their honor. But there's also something subtle back here as we were thinking about like Ephraim, why do they keep coming to this whole game a little bit late and asking, like, what's going on? And part of what is likely happening is that they're also a little miffed about the fact that they don't get an opportunity at the plunder for these nations, right? Ephraim was a nation that had wealth and power and strength and commerce. There was a lot of commerce going on there in their tribe. And when they are not part of the war, that means, or the battle, that means they don't get a piece of the plunder or a piece of the goods that come after that. So you better believe Ephraim was coming with a little bit of, aggression in this. Because they feel like they've been, taken out of the equation, and this is going to affect them financially. But the very interesting thing, I mean, let's go back to Judges chapter 8 verse 1. It says, "Now the Ephraimites came to Gideon. Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us to come and fight with Midian?" And they challenged him vigorously. And it's the sort of the same attitude with Jephthah, but there's an extra aggression happening with Jephthah. And it seems that they're also undermining who Jephthah is. Remember, Jephthah to them, or the people
Gilead.
of Gilead, were almost illegitimate, right? Jephthah, particularly, here he is, the son of a prostitute or somebody who's likely a pagan, came out of an affair. Like, who are you, is what they're really saying. Who are you to not only take on this battle, but take on this battle and then cut us out of the peace, cut us out of the bag, if you will. But they're really missing the point. Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, keeps missing it. Instead of looking at the people around him, the people of these other tribes, their clansmen, their family, really an extension of their family, and saying, "Wow, amazing! You took on Midian, or you took on the Ammonites, and you won. This is incredible. This is good for all of us. These are people that we shouldn't, want to have in our midst." Instead of doing that, he's coming at his own people. And I think a lot of times, we have an unexpected battle after a very expected battle.
That's right.
We have battles that come to us after, the Ammonite really encompassed, we talked about this last week, the enemy, right? We see the type and picture of the enemy in all its forms. As Jephthah and the people of Gilead are taking on the Ammonites. And so that's a battle that's to be expected, right? They are enemies, they are marked enemies. We expect that battle. But the battle that was coming from Ephraim was a little different because it was like, we're supposed to be on the same page. And by the way, we just defeated somebody that maybe you should have defeated earlier, that you should have taken on earlier. And now we took care of this illegitimate group, right? That you see as yourself being superior to. They missed the point. They just keep missing the point. They missed it with Gideon. They're missing it now with Jephthah. Instead of joining in with the person, these people that have conquered something, instead of being glad for them, we begin attacking. And that goes back to us not seeing the true enemy. Us not knowing the true enemy. A few months back, by the way, that was this year in February when we had a couples meeting here at our house. I know it feels like that was 10 years ago, right? Okay, anyway, that was February this year. Yes. One of the points that we talked about that I think God taught us, through marriage, is that a lot of times what we do is, We come at each other for something that really it's not about us all. There's an enemy working in the background, or maybe working in pieces of our childhood or our experience or our thinking or whatever it might be. And instead of fighting the enemy together, we start doing what? We start fighting each other. Doesn't that seem so silly? Isn't that exactly what the enemy wants anyway? Just to get us to stop actually dealing with the root cause and the issues that we need to come after, and we start fighting each other. This is what Ephraim is doing here, the tribe of Ephraim. That's exactly what they're doing. They're like, forget about you conquered the Ammonites. Wow, amazing. That's so great. How did you do it? Okay. No, we're coming after you now. Now we're mad at you. We're going to burn you to the ground. Isn't it so silly? But we do the exact same thing. Sometimes we come after our neighbor or our child or so, someone that like from our extended family or our coworkers, thinking that they are the problem when they aren't. That is not the enemy that you're after. That is not the enemy that you're after. Turn your gear. I mean, what a perfect way for the enemy, the devil, to get us to divert, right? We're too busy fighting each other. We can't actually take care of the things that that God has called us to care for. So that's what we're dealing with here, with the people of Ephraim.
And do you see here, Dina just said something very important right now. The main battle, not even against the Ammonites or the Midianites or, the main battle is against the enemy, the king of darkness. That's what the main battle is. He's just using the Ammonites, the Midianites, the Egyptianites, or the whateverites. He's just using them. And when they fail, he tries to use something else that's more subtle. He just as much as he can use the Ammonites and Midianites to fight us, he can use the Dinanites or the Asamonites or someone from within, someone from the family, something even from me personally. Because at the end of the day, the enemy, our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is against the devil himself. That's who we are fighting. That's the source of evil in your life and in my life. The problem is, it's very clear that the Midian, it's very clear that the Ammon or Ammonites and all of that, it's very clear they're enemies. It's very clear that the Palestinians are the enemy or the Amalek are the enemies. That's clear. But it's not very clear when it's something from within the family. And it's hard to admit as well. A lot of times we put all of our troubles and tribulations on the enemy. But how about self-control in my own life? How about discipline in my own life? How about resilience in my own life? How about praying in my own life? Do we ever point the finger at me and say, this is on you? This is the flesh. This is you, or this is the people who you're hanging out with, or you're putting yourself with, or you're the people that you're having community with. We don't do that. We just look on the outside and say, that's the enemy. That sickness is the enemy. This is the enemy. All of this is the enemy. But when it comes to us, no, we're fine. See, that's something we need to be very careful with, because a lot of times we miss the point, and we miss that we still have an enemy that's coming after us. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 2. And Jephthah said to them, I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites, and then I called you, and you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites. And the Lord gave them into my hand. And then have you come, and why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? See, the first thing here, Jephthah started identifying the true enemy correctly. He did it the right way. He said, I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites. Sorry, sorry. I had a great dispute. We had a great dispute with the Ammonites. And that's great. I'm glad that you can identify your true enemy. That's wonderful. Keep it that way. Let's keep the fight between you, the Ephraimites, and against the Ammonites, against the enemy. Okay? So he started very well. But then he started listing to them that he called them for help. And Jephthah's call for help was likely directed towards the Ephraimites, who were known for their pride and their kind of reluctance to assist. Okay, so as he said, I called you to help me, but you did not help me. Now he went from identifying the enemy into expressing some pain points in his life. And remember, Jephthah is someone who deals with pain points differently because he experienced pain. He experienced rejection. So he's been rejected all of his life. God gives him a push. Okay, then he gets rejected by the Ephraimites. Then that stirs up things in him. And we're going to see right now. Remember Gideon? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But Gideon had a completely different response than this. You know, so he goes, I called you and you did not come to save me. Really? You were counting on the Ephraimites to save you? But see, that's how large that rejection was for him. Do you ever have someone close to you do something very small, but you find yourself making it a big, huge deal? Does that ever happen to you, or is it just me?
Just you.
I know, see? She's because that happens all the time, you know? The coffee was late, and I'm like, you don't love me. You don't care about what I do. And I'm like, what did I just say? The coffee was just 30 seconds late. But because I deal with this in my life, this was just a joke, obviously, but not too far from the truth. So, but this was, you know, but seriously, because it pushes on certain buttons. And this is not about psychology. This is just truth revealing itself to us, right? He deals with rejection. He does not deal well with rejection. He dealt with it. It's a pain point in his life. But God healed you. God walked with you. Remember last week? You walked through Gilead. They came to you. They said you'll lead us. They said you will deliver us. And God did all of this. You now took off the cloth or the uniform of the victim and you put on the uniform of the warrior. And you delivered. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and took you from one place to another. Now there is no reason to go back to those low places again. When you see yourself lashing out against someone close to you for the smallest reasons, just know it's not about that person. It's not about what they did. This is a revelation, by the way. Okay? This is a revelation. It's about what the enemy caused in your life, the hurt and pain that the enemy caused in your life. The hurt and pain that you're living with, that I am living with, that anything comes close to that, we become very sensitive and we lash out. Right? I experienced this. I'm not preaching this to you. I am telling you before God. I am hearing this from the Lord to me personally, because I see myself doing this all the time. Whether it's Dina or employees or kids or people on the freeway even or people in the gym or what wherever. When someone, you know, pushes that button, you lash out against that person. It's not that person. And it's not even you. It's the hurt and it's the confusion and it's the lies over lies that the enemy has been building in our lives. It's time to tear him down. It's time to take off the victim uniform and put on the warrior's uniform. So he should have received their lack of help as a blessing because it opened the door for a bigger testimony. Can I say that again? He should have received their lack of help as a blessing because it gave him a bigger testimony. Now it's not the Ephraimites and the Gileadites, you know, that won the war. Now it's the Lord who won the battle, using you and using me. So when we have moments of hurt, when we have moments of pain, instead of lashing out on people, let's thank God during that time, because God is opening the door for a bigger testimony for you and me.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that should have been the, you know, the response. But again, this was a sensitive area in his life. He's definitely off balance because of what just happened the chapter before, losing his daughter, the Ephraimites coming aggressive. And I'm not taking any responsibility away from them. They're definitely gold diggers. They're coming at the end of every battle just to share in the plunder and to say, like, you know, why didn't you invite me? No, you knew that battle was there all along. We talked about this in Judges 8. Like, the enemy's been there all along. The Midianites have been there all along. Why didn't you pick up the fight and go fight them instead of now coming to fight against Gideon? Sometimes we don't get the expected help that we're hoping for. That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes we don't get the expected praise from the places that we expect. Sometimes we don't get the expected honor and love and value from those places. That's okay. That's okay. Because it has to be okay. Because guess what? If you don't make it okay, if you make it a big deal, if I make it a big deal, we're going to be so sensitive, so fragile. Anything can break us. Am I supposed to live with hurt and pain? No, you're not. You're supposed, and I'm supposed to take that hurt and pain to the Lord. Again, take off that uniform of being a victim, put on that uniform of being a warrior. We have multiple Ephraims in our lives. We're going to have people pushing our buttons all day long. At the church, yes, at the church. In the gym, yes, in the gym. On the freeway, yes. At home, yes. During Bible study, absolutely. So, yes. So we have people that will just a joke, relax. See? Can't take a joke. We have people who will be Ephraim in our lives all the time. You know, our job is to stay and to be in the presence of God. Gideon did a great job in this battle. So Jephthah is still on the right track by giving glory to God. So he tells him after that, God delivered me and he saved me and, you know, God helped me with this battle. So that's great. He was still on the right track to give the glory, to give the glory to God. And then asking, why are you coming to fight against me? This is very much the same question that he asked the king of the Ammonites. Why are you coming to fight against me? What did we do to you? You know, leave us alone. And he tells them that we crossed over, we fought, and we won territories. Okay. And then the Lord gave them to my hand. He lists to the Ephraimites that God gave them this fight. God gave them this victory. The Lord gave them to my hand. This is a great way to give the glory to God and also to take pressure off the situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mr. Ephraim, Mrs. Ephraim, if the Ephraimites, this is not me. I didn't do this. The Lord did this. So number one, you're giving glory where glory is due, because it's all God's hand. Because without God's hand, that battle would have been so easily lost. That's number one. And by humbling ourselves and giving the glory to God, we're also taking pressure off of the people that are maybe feeling defeated, feeling worthless, feeling that they didn't do something right, or they can't do something right, or still defeated, or still have the spirit of defeat in them because they did not participate in the victory. Can I say that one more time? The people who did not participate in the victory they're still living in defeat. Those who did not participate, who do not participate in victory, are still participating in defeat because there is no in between. So in Jephthah, when I am coming around to give glory to God, number one, he deserves the glory. And number two, I am taking pressure off of you because you still haven't tasted that victory yet. But I'm telling you, you can. Because I didn't get this victory because of how good I am. I got this victory because of how good he is. You know, when we talk to couples, when we talk to people, especially about our marriage, you've heard us many times before. We share how much we struggled more than we share how much victory we have. We share our fighting. I mean, just 2 minutes ago, you know, that's what I have to deal with. So we share about these things all the time because this is the nature of who we are. But God took these two broken people and wanted to do something with them. Okay, so Jephthah was on the right track to give the glory to God. He was on the right track to point out that real enemy. However, there is still some pain in his life. There is still some sensitive areas in his life. And those sensitive areas need to be taken day after day to the Lord. This is not going to be a one-day battle. This is not going to be a one situation. This is something, you know what it is, and I know what it is. You know which battle, and I know which battle that we need to take to the Lord day after day, day after day, for Him to deliver us. What are you coming to fight against me? Remember, this is the same question that he asked the king of the Ammonites. The difference is, in the first fight, Jephthah relies on the Lord, fight his battle. Right here, because it's Ephraim, because it's smaller, because Jephthah is bigger, Jephthah is more experienced, he takes the fight himself. May God help us when we realize that the enemy is coming to fight us, that we would not size up the battle. You know, we do that all the time. We size up the battle. We size up the enemy and say, oh, I can take this one. Oh, you know what? This one is bigger. We leave this to God. Oh, but this one is smaller. I can take this. Remember AI, the battle of AI? We talked about that, I don't know, like 10 years ago, almost, in the book of Joshua. You know, Jericho, oh, we can't do that. We need the Lord. But AI, oh, there are a couple of thousand people. We can take this. And even Pastor Mike had a whole sermon about this on a Sunday morning. Should go back and listen to it. You know, so why do we do that? Because we size up the battle. We size up the enemy. Because we're judging by the enemy we see with our eyes, not by the enemy that we see by the Spirit. So he, in the beginning, it's the same question, but one, he's relying on God, and the other one, he's about to rely on himself. Verse four, are we going to get to verse four? Yes. Just really quick. Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim because they said, you are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh. Do you know what they're saying to them? They're saying to them, who are you? You're a nobody. You're not really an Ephraimite. You're not really from Manasseh. Who are you? You're like somewhere in between. We don't know who you are. We don't like you. You're weird. You're in the wrong place. Your life is meaningless. That's what they were saying to Jephthah and to his people. Does that hit a spot as well? It's like for people who are already dealing with low self-esteem, the Ephraimites are coming against them saying the same exact thing. But remember that in the beginning of verse 4, it says, Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought Ephraim. Remember those words of pain and hurt? Remember those words of, you know, you did not come to help me. I asked for your help. You did not save me. Now they're turning into action. Let's be careful what we gather and what we store in our hearts, because they might be feelings and thoughts right now. Very soon, they're going to turn into action. Very, very soon, they're going to turn into action. Last Sunday at church, Pastor Al said, run, run when it comes to sexual temptations. Don't mess with it. Don't come near it. Run, run. Don't hold on to it. Don't even give it any chance. Run. But you know, there are a lot of people that flirt with these thoughts. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, just a video. It's just a clip. It's just a call. It's just this. It's just that. And then they find themselves in deep, deep pain and suffering because of their sin. You know, we hold things in our hearts. You know, so Jephthah here and his people are holding on to these things. And when the time came, they gathered. And this does not take like 5 minute process. This was a war that they prepared for, and they went and they started fighting with their own brothers. We see here that two brothers having an exterior, one exterior enemy, the devil or Satan. Two brothers who are called by God's name. Two brothers who are supposed to be fighting on the same side. Two brothers who are supposed to know that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Two brothers who are called to cleanse and possess this land now are fighting and killing each other. Now they're going against each other. Compare this to what Gideon said in Judges 8, where it says, "But Gideon answered, 'What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't the gleanings of Ephraim's grapes better than the full grape harvest of Abizar?'" Meaning your leftover, your trash is much better than anything, our whole harvest, our whole net worth. That's what Gideon was saying. That's someone who's staying humble, finding his value in God, not in grapes, not in harvest, not in status, not in wealth, not in any of that. Gideon went into the war knowing that the battle is the Lord, left the war knowing that the battle is the Lord, knowing whether it's this or that, it's the same battle that he's fighting. The Ephraimites' insult reflects their feeling of superiority towards the Gileadites, and that's pride, and that's why they lost. 42,000, we're going to see right now, 42,000 men were killed and died that day. So much pride, so much thinking too much of themselves, you know. And we have to be cautioned because of the danger of division that comes from pride, comes from sensitive places, comes from not being healed before God. Do not call anyone nobodies. If someone is born, if someone is here, God gave them this life to be a blessing. It's not our job to call them nobodies.
Finish.
Yeah.
Okay,
Smart.
verse 5. And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said to them, "Are you an Ephraimite?" When he said, sorry, when he said, they said to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he would say Sibboleth, for they could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 men of the Ephraimites fell. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah, the Gileadite, died and was buried in the city of Gilead. Okay, so basically what happened was, the Ephraimites started talking trash. Jephthah and the men were like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna do this? We're gonna kill you. We're gonna slaughter you. And the way we're going to, and now that we've captured the fords," which basically means they had the most critical areas, they had surrounded them. There was no chance that the Ephraimites had at this point of getting out. They did not expect that Jephthah and his people would come after them. So now they started like almost toying with them in a way. Okay, one of the Ephraimites trying to make their way out of the fords, and the soldier or the person standing guard in the area says, "Oh yeah, why don't you try to say, what is it? Shibboleth." Okay, they can't pronounce the SH. There are some people that can't pronounce certain letters. I know too.
Wow.
Knew
Wow.
that coming. Okay. Anyway, and so you want to make them work? Yeah, you try to say shh. Okay, you can't say that. You don't know how to. Your dialect
Or say,
doesn't
or they
allow
can
it.
say run 2 miles, and they say
You can't say that R. Anyway, it did, but in your English accent, nobody can hear it. It's only in Arabic. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, we heard a story the other day of two people that we know, older people that were ha happened to be at Super King. Anybody know what Super King? It's a big supermarket. Okay, and they're older. They're both in their like 70s. And they know each other very well. In fact, they're related through marriage. And they got in a car accident. One of them accidentally rear-ended the other one. The one that was rear-ended was very upset until he gets out of the car and he realizes this is his relative. Okay. This is kind of what happened here. But the only difference is that Jephthah, instead of being like, "Hey, Ephraim, like I know you're upset," and did what Gideon did, he went back and killed his entire family. Can you for a second see what Jephthah did here? It's exactly what Assam said. He then did exactly what the Ephraimites did to him, right? Instead of recognizing the true enemy. Instead of together going and recognizing the true enemy, they just collided and destruction happened. 42,000 people died that day. It is a big number with a very, very, very harsh reality of what happens when we allow pain points, as Assam said, to cause us to take on actions that God has not called us to do. Jephthah should have taken a lesson from Gideon, from the book of Gideon. Use those soft words to reduce anger instead of provoking it. Hearing what the Ephraimites were saying and taunting them, and maybe just walking away, but instead, pride all of a sudden became king. The most important thing is that the Gileadites would show the Ephraimites how legitimate they were. And did they? Yeah, they probably did, but 42,000 people died in the process. And a rift in that. It really is so important that we're careful as we're attacked by people that maybe are supposed to be close to us, are supposed to be not the enemy, not the enemy we expect, right? The enemy that we didn't expect. And instead of us going to the Lord and being in the Spirit of God and allowing for God to really guide our words and our actions and the things that we do, and not allowing that pride to provoke us to disaster. May God help us today to do that. Jephthah was buried in a city that was unspecified. It almost seems like his death was a little bit of an afterthought. It was not a national event. It was likely a local event. Because you see, what happens when we create these disastrous situations and relationships is that we become isolated. We become the ones who are isolated. And it is very clear that Jephthah became isolated, that his people became isolated because they decided that their pride, position, their esteem was much more important than the nation as a whole.
This is a great lesson for us because after the expected battle comes the unexpected battles. May God open our eyes to the pain points in our lives that we need to have healings from, that cause us to lash out, cause us to attack even those who are close to us, those who we love, those pain points of value. And if I don't receive my praise and my value from those around me, then I lash out. May God give us the wisdom and eyes to see who the real enemy is. And the real enemy is going to keep fighting until the day we see Jesus, or until the day he comes back. Comments and questions, please.
I just want to echo what Dina said. This whole story is eye-opening, but it's all because they weren't working together, right? I really like how you said in the beginning, where were these Ephraimites in all these stories? Where were they at? But yet they want to come in and cause trouble. But it's all the root of not working together, not being able to rejoice when somebody has victory. What about me? Jealousy starts. So yeah, definitely an eye-opener. Thank you for the reminder.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There really isn't a whole lot to add. You guys just kind of nailed it. But the way that it was presented, it's like, okay, well, him and his pressure points and the weaknesses and the unexpected enemies, it just brings the story to life in a way that it's like, okay, this is fresh and it's real. And I think no one is really exempt from it, because who doesn't have those past things that they still wrestle with, right? And then you have an unexpected enemy attacking you, and how do you react to that? So it's an ongoing thing. It's not like, okay, I've got this and so I'm done. No, it's like an ongoing thing that you have to keep stay and aware of.
Very good.
I liked what you just said. No one is exempt. No
No
one is
one.
exempt. We're all in this because we all have the same exact enemy who's going to keep fighting against us.
When we talk to couples, oftentimes we hear the same thing over and over again. And Albert and Dalia, I know you guys have done a lot of premarital counseling. You probably have heard the same thing over and over again. There's nothing new and creative about what the enemy uses to get to us. And so it's really important to remember that, like, all of us deal with this. What Ephraim and Jephthah and all these groups were just mirroring what we all deal with in this walk. But it, if only we can learn from that.
True that a gentle answer turns away wrath, as Proverbs tells us. But if only Jephthah had, learned that the way that Gideon did, and if only I can remember that, and speak a word that's, kind and gentle rather than inflammatory.
And his ministry was cut short.
Yeah.
His he served only for 6 years. I think that's the lowest we've seen so far, as far as I remember. That's not a long time to serve, because just feelings out of control and speaking out of control and letting those pain points come back, and instead of controlling them, he let them control him.
Funny, because I think Samson is coming up in the next chapter, and I think he ruled for like 20 years.
Think so,
And it wasn't like, everything was great in his world. But even with that chaos, even with that chaos, he ruled for 20 years. And this gentleman here is only ruling for six, which is
Yeah.
And he had a great start. Great start. Just not a great finish.
Okay, anyone else?
You know what we've been doing? We've been discussing this every day almost, and just going through it over and over. So meditating on it, and the more we meditate on it, we feel like, oh no, we need to go back. We didn't say this. We forgot this, or we didn't share this, or this is something new that God revealed to us a lot, after. And that's all great. So it's not, Bible study doesn't end today. Sunday morning doesn't end at 12:30. Friday night or Tuesday, we take this word and meditate on it. Let it speak to us. Let it speak to our souls. So take this, take it to the Lord, and let it speak to you. I know I'm going to do that because I need to. As we're sitting here, as we're speaking to you, I say this before God, not to be humble, or God just pointed at so many things that I literally do exact same things. I'm like, God, we need to heal this. God is like, I don't want you to live with this. You're much better. You're my son. You shouldn't be living like this. I want to give you freedom from these things. I want you to give you freedom. I want to give the people around you freedom from feeling like you're a ticking bomb that's about to explode any time. If they touch this area or if they touch this pain point, am I the only one, or do we have
You are
those?
the only one, Aslam.
It looks like
Thanks, Pastor Al. Absolutely not.
But
Yeah,
yeah, we need to take these
like I said
areas
earlier,
and they,
no one is exempt. No one is exempt.
yeah,
Yeah. So
exactly.
we
Of
take
course.
this to the Lord. We take this to the Lord, and knowing that He's got better life for us to live.
Amen.
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 All right. So, Pastor Mike, can you pray for us, please?
Front.
Holy Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory always, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Osam and Dina, Lord, for your anointing over them, Lord. Their helm is protected, Lord, covered by your blood, Lord. We just thank you for your peace, your goodness, your healing touch over that home, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for your word once again, Lord. We thank you for teaching us your ways, Lord. Father God, help us to walk in your truth, Lord, and unite our hearts to fear your name, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing to us, Lord, the areas that need work, Father God, the areas that we need to surrender to you, Father God. Lord, may there always be unity, Father God. We thank you for the victory, Lord. Father, to you be all the honor and glory. We just thank you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.